James chapter 1 tonight. Again, we acknowledged our veterans here this morning. And once again, publicly, I'd like to thank you for your service to our country, to the citizens of this country, and thankful for the liberty that we have here. And I am thankful for that. James chapter 1 and verse 13. Bible says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Let's read that again. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. God, thank you. Thank you that some men in our past and even in our present took their lives and exchanged it and gave it to you to use however you wanted. Lord, thank you for their example. Thank you, God, that you are all that you say you are. And God, I'm thankful that you have so graciously given us the gift of salvation. God, as we study your word tonight, Lord, help us with these things. And God, I look to you for wisdom. I look to you for strength. I look to you for God, just that you would lead us. And God, that you would give us courage to stand up against sin. And God, that you would give us wisdom to stand against sin. And God, that you give us strength to stand against sin. God, that we would be thankful for all the incredible gifts that you've given to us. Lord, thank you for our church here. Thankful for these that are here. And Lord, I pray as they desire to hear from you that you would honor that request tonight. Lord, thank you for the sweet day it's been. We sure do love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to remind you to keep the Skeen family. That is Jonathan and Katrina. They have two children with one on the way, and they're over in Russia, serving the Lord over in Russia. And she had some pretty severe medical complications of the end of last week, and she should be going back tomorrow. Just pray that they did some tests and they couldn't find anything, but there's certainly some problems. So she's going back to meet with the doctor again. So if you could pray for them concerning that. In James chapter 1, as we look at probably 7 or 8 verses or so, we're going to see some progressions that, well, number one, we're going to see one we want to stay away from. Number two, we're going to see one we want to be a part of. And as we start our study tonight in the book of James in verse 13, we'll read this verse again. I know it's the third time, but the Bible says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." What that's saying there is exactly what it's saying there. You can't offer God evil as an option. God, if you don't do this, I'm going to sin. Or God is never tempted to sin. God is never tempted with evil. Everything, as we're going to see, that God does is good and right. But then on the flip side, neither can we say that we have been tempted to sin by God. God tempts us in other ways. He gives us trials of faith. Yes, as we see that worketh patience and experience, and at the end of that, a hope that cannot be ashamed. But God does not tempt man with sin. No, God hates sin. And he doesn't want us to have any part of it. There's a couple thoughts that we're going to correct tonight through the Word of God. And that's the first thought. God never offers sin to us. If sin is ever at our doorstep, we're going to see this in a little while. It's by our own doing or our adversary. God does not bring sin by. We need to remember that. And number two, no person has ever fallen into sin. No person has mistakenly entered the room of sin wondering, "How on earth did I get here?" No, we understand this. That every sin that we have ever committed has been by our choice. We are sinners, yes, by nature, but number two, by choice. If we choose to lose our temper or get angry, well, that's our choice. Now, God is very willing to allow us to do that, but there is a consequence, and we'll study that out. I'm telling you here tonight, it will never be better to have sinned. Well, that worked out good. I'm glad I chose sin. No, God's ways are always good and right and pure. Can He correct sinful decisions? Absolutely. Remember a young man named Jonah? God gave him a second chance. But certainly the best life is the clean and pure life. That's what God desires from us. He desires that His church would be spotless and clean, He says. So tonight we're going to revisit this thought that just seems to be keep occurring as we study our Bibles as of the last few weeks. You reap what you sow. Well, that's both good and bad. I was talking to Pastor Seatman, and Pastor Seatman just bought a house or is in the process, and they're going to be moving in sometime in December. And he's excited about springtime because he wants to plant some fruit trees. Is that right? Peaches and apples. He's going to do that because he likes peaches and apples. See, what you plant is what you get. Well, we like peaches. Well, then we'll plant a peach tree. And now as we study this, though, let's draw very close attention to the progression of sin. The Bible says in verse 14, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." God very clearly describes the sin process. And once again, we don't find ourselves sinning by accident or by mistake. No, every sin has been had because we made a move. When he is drawn away of his own lust. The progression of sin begins with a lust. Lust. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 tonight. Jump down to verse 22. The Bible tells us, "Flee also youthful lusts. Follow righteousness." And the world will convince you and say, "Hey, it's all right, just as long as you don't touch. Just as long as you can back out. But you know what? You have that natural appetite. Why don't you feed it a little bit?" And God says, "Flee also youthful lusts." God says, "Hey, if you feel that desire in your heart to sin, don't go down that road." He actually recommends that you stay away from those things. Why? Because where does it lead to? Sin. See, lust is not necessarily a sin in itself. It's what follows. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. 1 Peter 2:11 says this, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Everything that's right and true concerning the Word of God and God Himself, well, lust is the very enemy of that. And that's why he says, he pleads with you. He says, "Dearly beloved, abstain." What does that mean? Don't partake. Don't partake. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse Here we see the great detail of the warnings of the ways of the world. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And that very thing God says, hey, stay away from. Stay away from it. Keep away from that. Abstain from that. Flee from that. Stay away. Say, it's just so hard, I can't. Lie number three. You can. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The first lie that we tell ourselves is, God has tempted me with sin. The second lie is that I mistakenly fell into sin. And then the third lie we tell ourselves is that I had no choice. I had to sin. That's not what the Scripture says. Either God is true or He's not. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able." Look at this. "But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." There's always a way out. And once again, any sin that you have ever committed, it was by your choice. But the exit door was always there. Unlocked. Actually open. You just had to get out. So what's the big deal of lust? Well, the Bible warns us in James chapter 1, go back to there. As we progress through this, what starts off as a lust in our heart quickly turns into what? Sin. Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 15, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin." What's the problem with sin? Well, sin is a separator between man and God. Out of Isaiah 59, our sins separate us from the Lord. So does that mean if I sin, I lose my salvation? No. Not according to 1 John, but it certainly messes up your fellowship. It certainly ruins or hinders your relationship with Him. In 1 John chapter 3, go there. What's the big deal of sin? What is the problem? The Bible says, whosoever in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law." I hate to admit it, but for 4 months I've been driving around in a truck that has been out of inspection. Willfully breaking the law. Every time I got in, I would cringe and drive from church to home and home to church. And thankfully, it's in the shop right now, getting worked on, and thankfully, it would be fixed. And again, I appreciate all your help with that. Say, oh, is sinning just breaking a man's law? No, it's breaking God's law. It's much more severe than getting a traffic ticket. It's breaking the very law of God. Say, what's the problem with that? Well, in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die," it says. Romans chapter 5. Go back to James quickly. We'll see the third stop on our progression of sin. It starts off as lust. And lust isn't sin, but lust leads to sin. And then sin, as we continue verse 15, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Once again, no one has ever said, I'm better because of sin. If that's the case, that would be lie number four. Sin does not make anything better. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, Ezekiel 18:20. Go to Romans chapter 5. Wherefore is by one man, in verse 12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because of our sin, well, one day we're going to die. A sinful nature. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 23, familiar verse. For the wages of sin is death. We are so thankful for the latter half of verse 23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, sin, lust brought forth sin, and sin brings forth death. But Jesus Christ is able to save us from the penalty of our sin. Isn't that a blessing? In Proverbs chapter 14, look there. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Proverbs 14:12 says, There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Of death. Oh, I can handle sin. If you don't like where... If you don't like where sin leaves you, don't go down that road. Don't even start down it. Maybe Brother Knob could testify even. Say, why Brother Knob? Because he works in our RU ministry. He works with he's worked with some addicts. You know, I bet there was a time in everyone's life where they wish they hadn't taken the first sip, first injection. So much sorrow associated with those things. You read the stories and parents selling their children to get money for drugs, and say, how on earth? Because sin is wicked and it's awful and it's ugly. Now my sin, yeah, your sin. Just because you don't have a syringe or a bottle of whiskey doesn't mean that your sin isn't bad. In Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, let's look at verse 5, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, here's the lie of the devil to Eve. God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, know what that is? Lust of the eyes. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. There's the pride of life right there. The serpent took the fruit and jammed it in her mouth and made her eat it. It's not what it says, is it? God actually told her, don't touch that. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The Bible says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. If you look in just the previous chapter, in chapter 2, in verse 17, God warns and He says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Lust, sin, death. Up to this point, Adam and Eve wouldn't have died. They would have been able to live forever. Because of their sin, death was introduced to all men. And so continues that ugly, ugly cycle of sin. Lust, sin, and destruction. May I remind you, sin never leaves you better than it found you. And it costs you a lot more than what you thought you were going to pay. And it keeps you much longer than you ever intended to stay. So let's remember that when lust presents itself at the door, there is a way out. You can walk away. By the power of the Holy Spirit of God within you, you can. Let us not follow the progression of sin. As we go back to our passage in James chapter 1, our message is going to take a very stark turn to happiness. James chapter 1 and verse 16. The Bible says this, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." Don't mess this up, he says. Right? Isn't that what it says? "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." The Bible says in verse 18, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Please remember this, and we don't want to mess this up. Bible warns us in verse 16, it precedes verse 17. It says, hey, you're going to want to pay attention to this because you might be off in this area. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Well, that is completely contrary to what I believe. Say, what do you mean? I believe I've earned all my good gifts. Everything good in my life, I believe it's by my own hand. And sometimes we approach our life like that. And God says, no, let me help you with this. You're not going to want to mess this up. Anything good in your life is from God directly. And it has very little to do with you and I. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Well, God bless me because you're breathing. That's why He blessed you. May we not err in thinking that we have earned the goodness of God. No, the goodness of God is bestowed upon all men because of God's goodness. It's based on Him, not on me, because quite honestly, none of us are good. None of us are good enough to receive the blessings of God that He has poured out upon our life. Now, in our minds, I'll just say this. In my mind, I immediately think to the less fortunate. I think of the bush of Africa that I walked through. And I think, how is God's goodness here? Because God's goodness is not measured in material goods, but in His Son, Jesus Christ. And He has made the greatest gift of all. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It is what? A gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The gift of God and salvation, upon whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's bestowed upon all. The Bible tells us, with whom is no variableness. That means In math, math gets fun when variables are introduced. We go from numbers to numbers and letters. That's fun. Those are variables. The Bible says, with God there are no variables. He is who He says He is. He changes not. And the goodness that we have in our life is the very, very product of His truth. Look at what it says in verse 18. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Blessings back to Him. If you've ever had a garden and, oh, those first little bits of things that come out, man, that makes you so excited, isn't it? God says, you can be that to me. The progression of blessing. First, we saw the progression of sin. Secondly, we'll see the progression of blessing here. That it is rooted in God Himself. It comes from Him. He is the source. And He freely wants to bestow it upon us. Well, where would I rather live? Receiving the goodness and the gifts of God, or, well, dealing with the consequences of sin? Seems like a no-brainer to me. Yes? Would I like to destroy everything that's good in my life, or would I like to continue to be right where the Lord wants me and experiencing the love and the peace of God that no man can take away? So how do I prevent one and how do I promote another? And I guess I'll ask you tonight, which road are you on? What is your path defined by? Lust and sin and destruction, or the goodness of God? Because He warns, you can't have both. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Aren't those great words? Here's what you should do. If you would like, here's some preventative maintenance for you. If you'd like to stay away from lust, which brings sin, which brings destruction to everyone's life, here's what you need to do. Just slow it down a little bit. Be swift to hear. That means pay attention to what you hear. Be slow to speak. And be slow to wrath. This will help you from getting yourself into sin and into trouble. Listen. Listen to the audible voice of God in your heart. Listen to what He talks. Listen to the Word of God as it is as preached and saying, never say, oh, that's not for me. That's not, that doesn't apply to me. No, let's be swift to hear the Word of God. Let's be slow to speak as we contradict it. Well, that doesn't apply. I'm the exception. There are no exceptions. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We warned this morning about how dangerous it is to have bitterness and anger take root in our heart. Preventative maintenance. How do I keep on the right path? Well, maybe we make some applications to these, but then we read verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. See, sin is not the righteousness of God. They're not the same. Can God use situations? Absolutely. But understand that sin is not the righteousness of God. So, verse 21. Sin, may I remind us, does not produce righteousness. Sin does not produce righteousness. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluidity. Nope, I added an extra. That's what it is. Superfluity. Remember that Bills quarterback? Yeah. And he ate his own cereal and it was super fruity. Okay. So what does that actually mean? It means just an overwhelming amount of evil and sin. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. So how do I stay on the right path? By laying those things aside. And receive with meekness, which we could deeper define with humility, the Word of God. So church tonight, if I could encourage you, if I could warn you against the dangers of sin, don't let the devil lie to you like he did Eve. Don't let the devil lie and make sin look enticing that would desire and pull you away from the things of God. Understand that God is very free and desires to pour out His blessings upon our life in intangible ways. The fruit of the Spirit is intangible, but yet God desires to be able to give you that gift, the gift of Jesus Christ Himself. So how do I do that? Well, I have the wherewithal to lay those things aside. Lay apart all filthiness. Sin does not produce righteousness. Young person, if you desire to serve the Lord in any area of your life, you're going to have to get a hold of this. Adult, if you look to be where God wants you to be and be able to hear the audible voice of God, why are so many so struggling with doing what God wants them to do? It's because they can't hear the voice of God. Why is that? Because sin is just so much louder. There's only two ways. If I could encourage you here tonight through the Word of God, not because I'm saying it, but because God says it. Lay those things aside. There'll never be a sin in your life that you say, yeah, that was worth it. James is a powerful passage. James chapter 1. It's very straightforward. It is what it says it is. Let's not lie to ourselves and make it something that it is not. Let's all stand.